Hello, photography lovers, and welcome to another episode of the Fashion Photography Podcast with me, Virginia. Last week, we finished our interview with the amazing beauty photographer, Sarah Brown. So today is Wednesday, and it's time for a brand new guest. If you want to listen to our previous interviews, you can go to photographypodcast.net, where you're going to find all of our Wednesday podcasts when we're here with some of the most amazing people in the industry, and also our Friday episodes, where I am answering your questions and I'm also giving you some tips and tricks on how to build a sustainable photography business. The guest in today's episode has been all over the world, working in Brazil, Paris, and now in New York. Sebastian is going to tell us about his journey and why he decided to move and what were the obstacles that he had to handle during this process. What's the most important and valuable lesson that he learned so far? And I really believe that this advice can be a great lesson to all of us. Why he had to start his portfolio all over again after moving to the US is another question that he's about to answer. So if you want to know more, just subscribe to our podcast and continue with this episode.
Hello, I'm Sebastian Sable Bruce. I'm a photographer based in New York.
You're based in New York, but you've been all over the world, right?
I was born in Chile, in South America, and then I went to live in Barcelona. So I grew up in Chile, but then my studies I did in Barcelona. So I lived in Barcelona like 10 years.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then I just said, let's go to New York. And that's where I am now since about 4 years.
Why did you decide to move from Chile in the first place?
For the most stupid reason, love.
Oh.
Yeah. I had a girlfriend who was Spanish. In South America, you should know everyone, mostly Chile, Argentina is European, everyone like. My family is a little bit Italian, Scottish. I have every mix. And so this girlfriend was also Spanish mixed with whatever. So she went to study there. And one day I went to visit her and I said, oh, I like it here. I'm going to stay here. And it was much more culture friendly than in Chile. Chile is like economically amazing. If you're an engineer or an architect or something, it's amazing. But if you're an artist, it's not so good. So I left that place because of that. And then in Barcelona, I start studying. My father was a photographer.
Oh.
Yes. But I never said, oh, I'm going to be a photographer too. He kind of gave me the taste of it. And I remember he said, don't study photography, study fine art. So you'll get a full background of more things and you'll see what you like. So that's what I did.
What would you advise someone if they want to start their photography business today? Would you advise them to go and study fine art or photography or something else?
Yeah, it depends. I don't know. I think you can, these days, you can really, really learn by your own, just experimenting and practicing or watching YouTube, or you can always do courses. Of course, it's not a bad thing, but also you can assist. I also didn't assist so much, so it all came out from me, and that was nice. But of course, it's impossible to get rid of all the influences and things you see all the time.
Have you ever been with your father on his photo shoots?
Yeah, many times. Mostly because, for example, he was always carrying the camera and shooting everywhere we were. Like, if we will go skiing, he will go with a huge bag full of lenses. And it was more open than, was also portraits, but not fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and of course, a ton of amazing portraits of my mother, who's beautiful. And that gave me a lot of taste as well, yeah.
And how did you choose fashion photography?
I was in Barcelona shooting fine art photography, but a more staged photography, which means I was using people and placing them in different positions or using myself. So it was fine art photography, but with human beings. I remember I came to New York in 2008, and a good friend of mine said, why don't you just shoot fashion if you know how to light a person and you're good with people? And I said, no, are you crazy? That's going to be like blonde girls, kind of Victoria's Secret. Like, no, what are you talking about? I don't want to do that. And he said, no, wait, let me show you these magazines. And then he showed me ID and magazines like that, that were more arty or independent or interesting. And I said, oh, yes, of course, I want to do this. And I started in 2010. I shot my first test in a rooftop in Barcelona.
How did it turn out?
I think it was okay, yeah. I had no idea what to ask the model to do, and I was clear on the mood, the mood I always had.
Do you have any advice for the people that are in this position at the moment? What would you tell to them in order to speed up their process?
So for me, the most difficult thing and also the most important is that I learned maybe not so long ago to shoot what you really like and from the heart, not try to replicate or do something else. First, find what you want to say. And that's really hard to find, you know, like what is your style? What are you going to do? Like what's going to be your photography? Like why you and why are you different? And what are you going to propose to the industry? That mainly happened to me here in New York, because when I arrived to New York with a portfolio full of everything from Spain, you know, because in Spain you have to shoot a little bit of everything, like a little bit of swimwear and this type of light and then that and then a beauty. And then when I arrived here, they said, okay, but what is what you like and what is your work? Because here I see a lot of different things that are well done. But in New York, we have the photographer who does this and who did that. So we really need you. And they saw a few portraits that I was doing like backstage on the shows on the Fashion Week that were in a really, really small studio, little fabric that I was putting on the middle of backstage. And they said, those we like. And that was exactly my work when I was alone and just me deciding. And I was the art director. So it took me about 2 years to generate my own content and to shoot from the heart, like as they said. And only then I got the clients and everything skyrocketed in a way. It's still going, but for me, that changed everything. Like it's so funny and so ironic. And when I had a portfolio that was so consistent with only things I like and I was proud of, and they were sometimes just very, very produce test, if you want. I hate the word test, but they were maybe portraits. We would go in a minivan to the beach with a crew of five and shoot only what we liked and with a great model. And that's what every client wanted to replicate with me. So they start sending me the mood boards, but with my images. That's when I said, okay, now something changed. If the mood boards are coming here with 80% my images, is because I'm kind of making it in a way, like in a humble way, starting. Yeah.
And what made you move to New York after so many years in Barcelona? From my research before the show and before this interview, I know that you've been to Barcelona, but at the same time, you've also had photo shoots in Milan and also in France.
Yeah, so I was in Barcelona, and Barcelona, of course, is a great city to start because it's cheap and it's good weather and you can do tests and portraits wherever in the beach. And elite Barcelona was giving me a lot of models to practice.
The modeling agency, for those of you that don't know.
There you can only do a couple of brands that are very famous brands, but it's only that. The main reason that I started going to Paris and Milan was the type of woman I like, the type of woman I want to project and propose in my photography was the opposite in Spain. Let's say in Spain, if I was shooting, for example, a cover for or an editorial for something, I was struggling with the makeup they put and the poses and the jewelry and the hair. And maybe it was the time as well. I don't know, 2000, 12, 13. And I was even saying, maybe I'm not a fashion photographer because I really, really don't see this woman. I don't like it. Maybe I'm not for this. I don't know. And then I saw magazines like The Gentlewoman. There was very, very little makeup and a strong woman and different. And I said, oh, this is what I like, but I can't do this here. There is no market for me here. So I started going to Paris, still based in Barcelona. Paris is a very nice photography, but so hard to penetrate. It's like, oh, who do you know? Who are you friends with? Kind of like more close circle, like not easy to get in if you're new. One day I remember Dolce Gabbana called me to shoot a lookbook in Milan. So I went there to shoot. And there I saw someone who was based in New York that was working. And I remember chatting with this person. He said, yes, you should totally go there and check. And basically because he told me about the visa programs and all that. So I saw, oh, there is an option. And then I start coming to New York. I remember like for 3 months, just for meetings. And it was totally the opposite of Paris. We like your work, come to work. Straight to business. Because you're so fast and so big, there is just no time to plug in your best friend or your girlfriend. I mean, of course, there is some of that as well. It's like lobby everywhere, but it's much more direct and Wall Street thinking. Like, we can use this person, let's work with him. And we like his work, or they love to, I discover this guy, or, oh, he comes from Europe. Oh, so exciting. It's going to be more edgy and moody and editorial, you know? So it was much faster, and I really liked that it was more talent-based and so fast. So New York is so ironic because for everyone it's like the hardest and the end. And actually it's very easy if you come with a good portfolio and you meet the right people. It's actually fast because it's so many clients, so many things to do here. Very competitive, but...
Is it true that the European artists are really that very moody?
That's what they think here. I mean, yeah, I understand that because here it's very commercial. You have a lot of brands here, so many brands that I didn't know they exist. And not so many nice magazines because all the good magazines are in London or Paris. Of course, there are more and more now. Every now and then a new magazine comes out and it's great.
It can be very difficult to go to another city that you don't know just to shoot.
That's my favorite thing to do, honestly. For example, it will inspire me much more to shoot in a city that I'm not from there because I like everything I see on the street or the nature, or like, oh, this is amazing. And a local person will say, oh, that's just a light here. You know, like that's normal for us, but for me, it's amazing. So I get double sensitive and double inspired. So for me, it's really nice.
And have you ever had a situation when you're not completely sure where exactly you can shoot or what exactly you can shoot? Have you ever been in a situation when you've even been kicked out from location?
Yeah, I'm very well known for having a very small crew and not attracting too much attention. Sometimes a client will rent the entire beach or get the permit for the full block. And that's good. But I always sneak in locations and even in museums and places that sometimes I just go alone with the model and the whole crew is waiting somewhere else. And I really love to do that because I love the unexpected and all the moments. I think if you also have a good producer, or even if you're alone and you talk to the police or the person, you just go to the next location. And I don't think that's a problem. There is a lot of people that get very, very like scared, like, oh, what if they kicked us out? It's not a problem. If you get arrested, that's different. Or if you get a fine.
Have you ever been arrested?
No, but I had a client that one day they got a fine, like a 500 euros fine for being in a beach in Barcelona somewhere. Not with me, but because it was clearly production. I really hate the permit thing. And in LA, in California, they're very strict with that because everyone's shooting movies there. They're so used to the permit and the whole city is a set. So there you have no other choice.
So we already got some hints from you on how to be very quiet and not be kicked out of our locations. For example, we can be with a small crew and we can be just with the model. Is there something else that we can do?
If you bother the pedestrians, like if you have a lot of things there in the middle of the street, they don't like that and someone's going to tell you something. But if, for example, the stylist is carrying some of the looks in an IKEA bag even or something like that, and no racks and nothing, you can totally get away with and no tripods, and maybe your assistant is carrying a reflector or a light or something like handheld, it's all okay. Always look like student is the best.
So guys, IKEA bag can be your new best friend, right?
Yeah, of course.
You shoot quite often on beaches.
Yeah.
It's not that easy to shoot on a beach. There are many things that people don't consider in advance. For example, the whole dusting.
Oh, yeah.
Are there other things that maybe people don't consider, but since you have so much experience, maybe you have little tricks for these?
If we have permit, then in the equipment list, we always order a beach cart, a cart that have big wheels for sand, and you can put all the gear inside and you can fold them. So then you can put them back in the motorhome or in the van or wherever you're carrying your gear. And those are really nice. Also, never, ever shoot in the beach when the sun is right on top. Of course, maybe some photographers like the toppy light, but for me, it's not the best. I always shoot very, very early or very, very late. And in the meantime, we do lunch. Or also, if you have some shades and stuff, you can play with that or with filters or diffusions. So then you can also shoot in the middle of the day. But for me, that's the big problem of the beach, the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you have no permit, you should look very just a couple of friends shooting there, not much gear. What else? Bring some towels if you're going to go in the water.
Oh, that's a great tip, actually.
And of course, never make your model very cold.
Yes.
Because that will ruin everything.
I love that advice. And I also like the fact that we suddenly went to gear, which is so nice. Because on most of your photos, the light just looks so natural.
Yeah. I usually try to not use much. The main thing I should say for everything I do is I'm trying to get rid of the set. You know, like, okay, here's the set. Go there, stand there, click, click. Okay, now move there. I'm tired of that. I don't know what that is anymore. And I don't do that since I arrived in New York. I was always doing it, but you always had the pressure of the set or the studio. Like the feeling of the studio is there's where I struggle the most because there is no story and there is nothing to do. And so the model is either posing or not posing. And I never shoot posing, so it's difficult. And the gear is the same. If you do a setup, like a light setup, that the model can only be standing in that spot, it's very limiting. And the way I shoot is very, very spontaneous and organic and relating with the space and doing the most real as possible. And basically after the truth of the moments and unexpected. And so that's why else we get far away from the crew. Or when I'm in studio, I don't shoot tethered connected to the screen. I'm 80% shooting in film, but with clients, I have a digital camera to show them, like in the little screen in the back of the camera, like, okay, this is how it's looking. Do you like it? Yes, okay, maybe this, maybe that. But then I'm gone. I do my thing and I'm grateful that I got quotes to that level where clients let me just go and do my thing, because it was not always like that. And it was very stressful before to have someone directing you over your shoulder or looking. In a way, with the screen, the problem is too many opinions and too many, oh, maybe that's not so nice. And you're trying to build something with a model, going for it, building, searching. Maybe it's not looking good in the first moment, but you're going there. You're building something, and suddenly someone screams or said, oh, maybe this like that, or maybe the dress or the bag or whatever. So that kills everything in my approach.
What's usually like the process of communicating with your model? What do you usually tell them? Because for many people in the audience, I know that the guiding process is very, very hard. So maybe you can help them a little. You're going to find out the answer of this question next Wednesday when we'll be here with part two of our interview with Sebastian. And before that, don't forget to come back again on Friday. And if you have any particular questions that you want to hear answered in this podcast, don't hesitate to reach out to us on photographypodcast.net or in our Facebook group called the Fashion Photography Podcast. Thank you guys so much for being with us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, and I cannot wait to see you on Friday.